And, but don't call me tall, because you'd be lying. And we have four beautiful kids, and it'll be a joy for us to spend this week with you. So tonight I just wanted to share together from James. James chapter 1. And James chapter 1 really has to do with, verses 2 to 12 really has to do with trials. And we know what that is right now. And suffering. And difficulties in life. And so we wanted to hear from the Word how we are to understand trials and suffering and how we could face them. Because you all know about how we face trials, right? Because we suffer all the time. And some of you, it was just trial just waking up in the morning. Or, you know, if you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, it's a real trial for some of you. And I know, I'm not looking at you, Joe, you know? But in all seriousness, we go through various heavy trials in life. We have relational difficulties that are really heartbreaking. Physical difficulties, financial difficulties, and we know what it is to go through these trials. And the question is, how do we go through them? Because some of us, we've been Christians for many years, yet you still have very hard time undergoing through trial. You go through depression, difficulties, and we live in fear. And so we want to hear from the Word today, how do we understand trials of our lives and how do we face them, okay? So if you don't mind, let's read James 1, verses 2 to 12. And if you look at verses 2 to 12, it's one unit, because verses 2 to 4 talks about trials, and all of a sudden verses 5 to 8, James talks about wisdom. And all of a sudden verses 9 to 11, he talks about being wealthy or being poor. And then he closes it up in verse 12 as an inclusio. This is how you undergo through trial. So we want to kind of make sense out of this fascinating text. Are you ready? Are you awake?
Yes.
All right. It's good to be awake. All right. So, okay, that was too powerful. Okay. So let's read it together with one voice. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown, tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Oops. Sorry about that. Okay. The brother in humble circumstance ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Amen. So James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kind. Amen. And there's a lot to be joyful about these days, right? Because now James says whenever. He doesn't say if ever, right? Because the thing is, consider it pure joy, because whenever you face, because we'll face them. We are taught to expect sufferings and trials in this world. Amen. There are many people, they suffer so much more because they're scandalized that they're going through suffering. They didn't expect it. They're like, whoa, what's happening to me? And they get depressed and they get angry and they get blaming because they're facing trials and they didn't expect it, as if something strange was happening to them. And so a lot of time, you know, we suffer so much more because we didn't expect to suffer. And it is biblical teaching for us to know that we should expect it, so that when trials of life comes, we know and we are ready to face them, and not be victimized and not be like powerless. But we are taught that whenever we face trials, we are ready to face them. And trials of many kinds, right? So some people may say, I'm ready to face physical pain, but you're not ready to face relationship pain. Or some people says, I could handle relationships, no problem. And no one loves me anyway, and yet you aren't ready to be poor, you see. So we go through trials of many kinds, and we as believers, we are to be ready. And so that we're not scandalized, we're not depressed, and we're not angry, or we're not victimized. And some people are not ready to go through trials because perhaps wrong theology has been taught to us. That we've been taught by certain people that if you're a Christian, if you're a nice person, no bad things will happen to you. Is that true? Absolutely not. The best person who has ever lived on the earth, he took all the pain for us. And all his disciples went through suffering. Paul went through suffering. When Paul was called in Acts 9, Jesus says, he will be the one that I have chosen to suffer for my name. Right? And Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and all these prophets, they suffered for the name of God, right? John 16, Jesus says, I have told you all these so that in me you will have peace, but in this world you will have tribulations. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus says, you're not exempt from pain and suffering and the tragedies that will happen, but I will never leave you. Amen. So it's not the absence of pain that he promises, but he promises the presence of God in the midst of it all. Amen. That's why you look at Psalm 23. I know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Right? He leads me beside quiet waters. And that's all good. But even in the middle of Psalm 23, what do we have? Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. But we still go through the valleys of shadow of death. Amen. So 1 Peter 4 talks about how, why are you surprised at all this suffering that you're going through? As if something strange was happening to you. But these have come so that, that you will participate in the sufferings of Christ. And Paul himself says, I want to know Christ, not only in the power of resurrection, but in the fellowship of suffering. But friends, we are not exempt from suffering. Amen? This is part of what it means to take our cross and follow our Savior. Amen. And perhaps it's not the wrong theology, but perhaps the reason why some of us, we go through such scandalization of going through suffering is because of perhaps wrong spirituality. Because underneath our religion and underneath our religious practice, deep down, we don't believe that we really should live for God. Deep down, we think God exists for us. That God exists, it's his job to make me happy as I see happiness. And that we think God owes it to me to make me wealthy and healthy now. And if he doesn't, then we blame God. Sometimes we forgive him. Lord, I forgive you what you've done last year, but come on, this is too long. As if he exists for us. We do have this underneath this thing where God, we feel like God owes me something. Right? Lord, I went to church for 10 years. You owe me this. That sort of theology or philosophy, that's not biblical. We exist for God. And our health and our sickness and our suffering we offer to the God as living sacrifice, because we exist for his glory. Amen? And somehow underneath the spirituality is we think that this world is it. That this in this world I have to find my life and I have to find my meaning and I have to find my satisfaction. satisfaction just in this world. And if this world doesn't work out, then we are angry. And my friends, I have a question. Is this world everything there is? And absolutely not. Amen? This world, Jesus has come so that we would be his forever. Amen. So then how do we deal with suffering? Right? It says, consider it, say with me, consider it pure joy. Okay, say not with me. Say with me, consider it pure joy. Oh boy, Lord, I'm suffering tonight. Whenever you go through trials of many kinds, consider pure joy. Now, what does this mean? Does that mean we Christians, we have to be like masochists? That we love suffering? You know, you get injured, you're like, yes, Lord, that is so good. You know, do it to me one more time, right? I mean, no, we're not called to enjoy suffering for what it is. But he said, consider it pure joy, because why? Because he says, you know something. Consider it pure joy because you know the testing of your faith would develop into perseverance, and perseverance will finish its work. You know something. That you know in the middle of the suffering things you go through that God is in control. That God is in the midst of it, and this is his universe, and you are precious to him, and God knows what he's doing, and he is using it, and he is testing your faith so that your faith will develop perseverance. And my friends, what is the most important thing in your life? That's the question. And I want to say the most important thing in my life and your life is the relationship with God. It's faith. Faith characterizes our relationship with God, that we trust him, that we know him, that he is worthy of my life. And if this suffering and this trial will bring about testing of my faith so that I know that I am real and I know that my relationship to God is real, isn't that a great gift? How do you know that your relationship with God is real? How do you know that you really know him and love him? How do you know that he lives in your heart? How do you know that? Unless it's tried. When everything is easy, it's very confusing. You don't know what you know and you don't know what you believe. You know what you think you believe. You know what you think you love. But how do you know what you really love? Until it's tried. And so if this trial will make me real, and this trial shows me that my faith is real, and if it leads to perseverance, and perseverance is, I trust you once, and Lord, I know that I trust you twice. And Lord, I know that I've become a kind of person who lean on you, who look to you, and you're the rock of my life. And if that's what I get as a result of suffering, then consider it pure joy. Amen. Right? And what if the youth group right now, like tomorrow, they are scheduled to go on a hike. Imagine, they're scheduled to go on a hike. And last minute, that hike is canceled because it's thundering and raining. So instead of going on a hike, they're meeting in the room playing board game. Now, one of the youth will be very upset. Because, you know, whole reason why he came to Camp Spofford is so that he could go on that hike. And he's been exercising, he's been working out, and he's been looking forward to it. When that's canceled, he is angry, he is depressed. He's like, why am I living, you know? But there's another guy, he's just so happy. I mean, why? Because he doesn't care about hike, he just wants to hang out. And there happens to be a really cute girl that he gets to sit next to playing the board game. I mean, so it all depends on what you're after. So if you're going through suffering and if the purpose in your existence is comfort and avoid suffering in life, then woe to you. But if the purpose of your life is to know God and to love God and for God to be glorified in your life and God, the way that God purifies you through the suffering and makes you real and makes you more compassionate, if that makes you more holy, then consider it pure joy. Because what are you really after? Amen? If you're really after God, that I be shaped and formed into a likeness of Christ, and if suffering helps me, then Lord, it's good. In fact, I heard a speaker who says, if you're a real Christian, only three bad things could happen to you, and they're all good. Isn't that good? Right? Because you've been crucified with Christ. Right, your life is hidden now with Christ. When he appears, you will appear. So he says, basically, you know, you could die, and that's pretty bad. But that's not that bad. Because when we die, we were going to be with Jesus, right? Right, 2 Corinthians 5, you know, Paul says, you know, I would actually prefer to be away from the body to be at home with the Lord. Right? And if I am home with the body, then I'm away from the Lord. And that's why Philippians is like, oh, should I go or should I not go? It's better if I go, but for your sake, I'm going to stay. Right? I mean, so if you die, it's not that bad. Amen. We're going to be home with the Lord. And we're going to have a glorified body. Isn't that great? Better than this. I know, it's hard to imagine. Right? A glorified body. I mean, or you could get into coma. And he says, that's good. If you get into coma, then you get to rest. No stress. You don't have to work. Right? You don't have to, like, you know, hear the nagging of your spouse. Not me, of course. You know, I mean, it's good. And then if you get into coma and you die, that's good. You rested and you could be with Jesus. Or you could get out of coma, then that's good. Then you get to live for God and you get to love your children. So it's all good. Or maybe third bad thing that could happen to you, you could suffer. But if suffering means that you get to be more humble and compassionate and you get to be more holy and set free, if that suffering can be used by God to make your life more beautiful, isn't that what you really, really want? Amen? In fact, I actually had a long conversation. Well, he was doing a small group Bible study with a guy. He was in a coma for a number of years. So when I saw him, he seemed very frail. And he was in a coma for a number of years, and he said, people thought he was in coma, but he said, I could hear everything. I could think, but I could move. And he says, whole time, he was praying. And he said, one thing that I came out of this experience was I became so thankful that I realized I was thankful. I realized that I was not bitter, that I was just so, because I realized through this experience that I loved Jesus for himself, and Jesus was enough. And that was what he said, what I walked away with from that trial and tribulation, because what he really, 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 really want is God. Amen? So consider it pure joy if you go through all these trials, because it will make you mature, not lacking in anything. What's maturity? You being the person that you ought to be. You become a person full of Jesus, full of life, full of compassion, full of love, not sin, not ego, not complaining, not bitterness. Amen? If it makes you mature and become the person that you are called to be, consider it all joy. Now, there is that which happened to you, and there's how you could consider it. You can't control a lot of things that happen to you, but you could surely go to God and say, Lord, I want to consider it a certain way. Amen? It says, consider it pure joy, because it leads to maturity. And all of a sudden, he switches the gear. He says, any of you lack wisdom? You should ask God. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? We've been just talking about, you know, consider it pure joy when you go through trials. Why are you talking about wisdom? Now, why is James talking about wisdom? Because when you're going through trials and difficulties in life, what do you really need? What you really need is not for the circumstance to change per se, because that will still make you leave you as a jerk that you were before. Right, ask your wife, right? So what you really needed when you go through this situation in life is not just the circumstance to change. What you really, really need is wisdom. And Lord, I need wisdom. And wisdom has to do with the person that you become, not just information that you have in your brain. It's not just the theological academics that you have, but the person that you become. It's your walk. It's what you love. It's who you become in your relationship to God. Wisdom means, Lord, you are God of my life, and Lord, I am not God. Wisdom is not the ability to figure out everything and make things okay. Wisdom is the predisposition to realize that you're not all wise and you're not God, that God is God, that you align your life in humility before the Lord and say, Lord, have your way in me. Change me. Amen? I'm not the king of the universe, and I'm not in control, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Lord, you are the Lord, you are the King. I don't understand everything, and I don't have to know everything. But Lord, align my life with your life, and Lord, make me more like you. Amen? So wisdom is what we need when you go through suffering. Change me. May your kingdom come and your will be done, your righteousness be characterizing my life, and that's wisdom. Amen. Wisdom has to do with what you begin to really love, that you love what is good, that you love his ways. Wisdom has to do with aligning your life with the reality of the universe, and the reality of the universe is God rules, and I align my life with God. Amen. So when you go through stuff, what you really, really, really need is wisdom. And God, make me wise, humble, make me full of God. Amen? Why? Because you ask God, because God is the only one who could make beauty out of ashes. He is the only one that could make you wise. So that's why you ask God. You don't just go to the book, right? You don't just figure things out. Because only God could change your heart and align your life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So it's not just a book smart. So you have to wrestle with God. Lord, I'm undergoing through this. I don't understand everything. But Lord, for the first time in a long time, I'm humbling myself and I'm talking to you. God, what is it that you want to teach me and make me? Ask God. And God will answer you generously without finding fault. Amen? Well, I love this phrase. God is wanting to give you wisdom. That means you could be wise. Amen? And even you. Okay? You could be wise because God is generous, not because you're smart. Not because, you know, you have all this ability or disability, but because God is generous without finding fault. You know what without finding fault is? You know, it's kind of like, imagine, you know, I love fried chicken. I think it's one of the gifts of God in life. So imagine if I order like 20-piece bucket and I'm just ready to go right in there. And a bunch of folks come to my table and my friends, they come and they don't look at me and they look at the chicken. And they say, how you doing? Yeah, that's a lot of chicken. We're really hungry. Now, if I say things like, you know, you really don't want chicken. You know, it's fattening. Oh, it's cold. It's not that good. What am I doing? I'm trying to find fault so that I have reason not to give them what they want. Right? You really don't want this. Now, God is not like that. God is sincerely wanting to give you real wisdom, life, beauty, joy. That's who God is. He's sincere when you talk to him. When you ask him, he's sincere about answering you. Amen? That's who God is. So when you come to him, know that God is wanting to answer you in the midst of your horrors and trials. God is wanting to answer you in the midst of all that. Amen? Amen? So he's not reluctant, he's generous. But when you ask, it's us, we are double-minded. When you ask, when you doubt, you're like a sea tossed in here by waves. You have a double-mindedness. You know, can you imagine if a guy asks a girl out and he says, hey, girl, I don't know her name. Hey, girl, you want to go out with me? Say no. I mean, please go out with me, but maybe not. You know, if you want to go out with me, you can, but you really don't have to. If guy talks like that, will you go out with that guy? Right? I mean, that's weird. That's double-heartedness. Right? And that's what we do a lot with God. Lord, we want wisdom. We don't want wisdom. We want change. We don't want change. We love you. We don't really want to love you. We want to be close to you, but Lord, we run from you. We're so double-minded. And so that when God is so sincere in wanting to answer us in the midst of our trial to give us wisdom, it's us. We're so half-hearted. That's the problem. Amen? Right? We're double-minded. Can you imagine if a guy is proposing to a lady and he says, lady, will you marry me? But don't be pressured. Because I don't want to put you in a pressure situation. So just no pressure. Will you marry me? And you won't hurt me if you say no. Okay? Because because I asked two other ladies and as a backup. But you're my first choice. So, if you say no, it won't break my heart. I mean, what a nice guy, right? He's so thoughtful. I mean, will you marry a guy like that? And the answer is he's double-hearted, he's double-minded. And that man should not receive anything from the Lord. Amen? So my prayer is as you go through trials in life, what you really, really, really need is, Lord, during this time, I need to be more like you. I need your wisdom. I need to align my life with your life. But when you do, go straightforward, directly, honestly, humbly, trusting in God's generosity, not your deservedness, not your ability, but God's kindness, and speak honestly with the Lord. Amen? Because he is sincere. You're not all that good. I'm not all that good, but we could come to God authentically. Says, Lord, I need your grace. I don't understand and I don't know what to do in this situation, but all I know is I need wisdom. I want to be more like you and I want to reflect Christ in this time. Amen? So there's a quick illustration. He talks about, if you're poor, a brother in humble circumstance, ought to take pride in his high position. If you're poor, what do you need? If you're going through the trial and the suffering of poverty, what do you need? More money? Is that what he says? What do you need? You need wisdom. More than money. If you don't have wisdom, if you get a lot of money, you're in big trouble. What you need is to know that I'm a brother. I'm a son and a daughter of God. I have eternity. I have the Holy Spirit. I have Jesus. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm a servant of the Most High. And I need wisdom to take pride in my high position as a child of God. Amen? So that I'm not victimized and I'm not blaming and I'm not greedy and I'm not envious. I'm not self-pitying, but to say I am a child of God. I have the wisdom. I have the Holy Spirit. I have his calling. And Lord, with all that I have, I offer it to you. You need wisdom. Amen. Now, if you are rich, what do you need? To give away your money? Well, if you take that route, talk to me afterward. but if you're rich, what do you really need? You need wisdom. Right, Lord, because now that I have money, I need your wisdom to see and recognize money is really nothing. I take pride in the low position, having lots of this stuff doesn't make me high. Doesn't make me worthy, doesn't make me strong. Amen? Because when the money blows, the rich man blows. It's here today, gone tomorrow, it will make you superficial. So I need to take pride in the fact that it's nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I would have wisdom, therefore, how to deal with money, not to make an idol out of it, not to make a source of pride or my security, but it is what it is. And it's not what it's not. You need wisdom. Amen. So therefore, friends, this is how we go through trials. The blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You know how you undergo through trial? Love Jesus. When you go through trial, say, Lord, what I really, 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 really want is you. So I will consider it pure joy. And Lord, if the things that are happening in my life which I didn't expect, but if it lead me to know you and make me humble and wise, Lord, this is how I'm going to undergo through trial for those who love him. Amen. And I promise you, friends, trials will end. Nothing is eternal except God and his people. This COVID, this crazy social outrage of confusion, all these things, at the end, God will have the last word. And through this, we're called to pray and deal sincerely with God, and God will give us wisdom, generously he will give it to us because he is gracious to you. Amen. And this is our prayer tonight, and this is our blessing towards you. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're living in a fallen world, and we are part of the problem. And Lord, we know that we are part of the problem. But by God's grace, you've called us your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we don't ask that we escape suffering. But Lord, that we ask that when we suffer, that we be more like you. That when we suffer, God, that we are able to face them with you for your glory. And Lord, that we would come out as purified gold. That our testimonies and our faith is not just a talk. But Lord, that we come out real. And Lord, that may we consider it pure joy with all this happening, Lord. We seek not for comfort or easy way out. But Lord, we ask you, God, that we will love you in the midst of it. This is our cry. This is our longing. Lord, forgive us in such many ways, Lord, that we've been so insincere towards you. But Lord, you are sincere toward us. We receive and we trust. And Lord, we humbly come to you tonight with fear and trembling, because you are a great God. You search our heart. You know it all. And we receive your grace tonight. And Lord, as we rest in your goodness throughout the week, Father, may we love you. May we enjoy that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, is there a closing song or?
I think Adventurers and Explorers from Meetings Now, the parents in here. In here, yep.
Amen. May the Lord bless you tonight and have a wonderful time. We'll see you soon.